ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. How about that defense? After giving up 123 the night before, 122, I think it was 122 the night before. They gave up 132 last night. And
defense.
No, I mean, talked about how crappy it's the worst, if you want to know the truth. They gave up 22 points in the last 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. 22 points in the last 5 minutes. Apparently, according to Steven Adams' stats, there are 10 teams in the league tanking.
Steven Adams' stats, by the way, is a Twitter account.
Yeah.
It's the Rockets not Steven Adams
27th.
Talking. Right.
The Rockets are ranked 27th in clutch defense. They've given up 1.2 points per possession in the clutch. Last night, 94.5% true shooting in the last 5 minutes. 94.5% true shooting. They got one stop in the Bulls' last 11 possessions over the last 4:30. One stop.
Yep.
Alperen and Reed looked, I mean, it was almost like an NBA All-Star game. It was awful.
Yeah.
The uncontested layups, the just wide open shots.
This team does not consistently, and you know, those two are big problems. There's just no getting around it. I mean, Alperen is a minus defender. There's not going to be any way around it. And so is Reed. I mean, when it comes to on ball, there's just not the same level of intensity. There's not the same concern for the ball handler, from the ball handler, I should say. And that's a problem. I mean, the ball handler doesn't have to be concerned. Rockets fought back. I mean, they were down, and they fought back, but they couldn't, you know. You scored like that in the fourth quarter the way you did, but you couldn't get stops. I mean, you couldn't. At some point, you have to be able to get stops. And this really used to be what that was their calling card, is that they didn't have to be great offensively because you weren't really going to be able to score. You were going to have a hard time scoring. And that's just, man, that has just, there are times where it just disappears for the Rockets. It hasn't been like that the whole season. Obviously, they're in the top, like, seven defensively in most categories. But since the All-Star break, it's gotten worse. And as of late, it's really gotten worse.
Well, I brought this up yesterday. You fought me on this. Are you on board with this, that they suck defensively?
Well, I don't think they would be top seven in the league defensively. In some categories, okay, they're top four.
That was a different team early on. It was a different team.
Well, I get it. I mean, I know that the seasons have, they sway back and forth. I think, just probably nine games ago, I have to go back and look. They had a run where they were playing pretty well defensively. I mean, if you go back and look at it, they had a run where they were, you know, when I say play pretty well, six, anywhere from two, or from 112. Now, they weren't scoring either. The Rockets weren't scoring during this time either. No, but they had a time where they were playing better defense.
Look at some of the teams that they were playing. The horrible thing about this is, that's a team that's tanking. That's a team that's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, and they just destroyed you. I mean, that is not a good, that's a terrible, that's a G League team. Mm. And they destroyed you. For the most part, you know, they have decent defensive numbers. It was against the Wizards and against Sacramento.
Like Portland 99, Toronto 99, yeah. New Orleans 105, LA 100. Atlanta 95. This is all just fairly recently. It's just when they've been bad.
Look at those teams.
When they've been bad. Right, right. But I mean, well, LA's not bad. They scored 100. LA scored 100 on them in the first game, and then 124 in the second. But you know, it's been, you know, Miami got them for, and Rockets won for 122. Then you followed up with 132, and then Lakers had 124 the other day. That's three of your last four games. And then you know, you go back to Denver had 129, which is a huge, huge third quarter. Right, that's where the Rockets set out their start. Like the Rockets didn't even. Starters didn't even play in the fourth quarter. 145 at San Antonio. It's been, you know, 99, 113 in overtime to Golden State. 115 to overtime in Golden State, but that was, you know, that was also a loss. So, I mean, that matters too. It's just, if you look at this, I mean, it's really more recently over the last six, seven games is where this, I guess it goes back to the San Antonio game where San Antonio hit you for 145. If you go back there, you know, 145, 99, 129, 105, 100, then 124, 95, 123, 122. I mean, it's popped up in five of the last seven, five of the last nine games.
Well,
and it's not good enough, but it wouldn't have popped up more than twice last year in nine games.
Right.
More than twice at most. That's the problem. This is, you know, it's not their identity any longer. The Rockets have really lost their identity this year, and it's sad to see because, you know, you thought Kevin Durant could just fix stuff offensively. He had 40 yesterday. Şengün with a triple-double. I mean, you would think, if I told you Şengün had a triple-double and Kevin Durant had 40, you'd be like, Rockets won by at least 10.
Yeah.
At least 10. But this is not the same team. You don't get the same defensive intensity from, I don't even think, Amen always plays with the same defensive intensity, if you want to know the truth. I know the Rockets are piss poor when it comes to consistency of rotating. Their rotations to open three-point shooters has really fallen off this year. It's just, and that, and you know, and a lot of that, you could say it's hustle. A lot of it is just knowing where defenders are on the court. It's defensive awareness. Where is the guy? Where's my rotation? And it's, and even that's falling apart where guys are getting wide open looks. The Lakers the other day, when they hit you for 124, got so many open 3-point looks, so many from breakdowns defensively. I mean, this just wasn't happening. And you have to. I mean, you do have to kind of say, like, well, if Ime's team isn't going to defend, and his teams are bad offensive teams, which I don't know if you want to say bad, but I mean, Kevin Durant's on this team. Of course, you're going to get some buckets, but as an offensive unit, it's lost. And then defensively, they've lost a lot of their mojo and toughness and consistency of intensity.
Well, he may put it best. Told him to stop BSing. I mean, but he didn't say BSing. He said bullshipping. They need to stop bullshipping. That's what he said. And they disrespected the game. You got the here. Listen to this.
They're 6-7 in their last 13. If you like those kind of numbers, John.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. They've also lost seven games to teams with a record of 73-154. The Kings twice, Pelicans, Jazz, Mavs twice, Bulls, 73-154, a win percentage of about 335. They've lost seven games to those teams. Instead of being in the sixth seed, if they could take care of business against really crappy. And listen, they're not only losing, and they're losing to good teams now. Well, they're losing to crappy teams too. They were down 41-21 in the first. 41-21 in the first quarter. They showed some heart, took the lead in the fourth quarter, but then had their usual collapse at the end when they can't stop anybody. Here is Ime talking about the Rockets disrespecting the game.
Poor start, disrespected the game, not prepared from the get-go. Just non-aggressive, following around, watching them shoot. You know, they have nothing to lose. They're going to fire away and obviously, to give up 41 points in that first quarter is disappointing. It was one quarter that killed us, and weren't prepared to play at all.
Now, how much of that, again, Ime is catching it, but everybody's got to take their share of the blame.
Well, Ime is going to tell you what he's not happy with, and I get it. But at some point, he has to be self-aware enough to know that he's going to, you know, potentially lose that locker room if he's not willing to be accountable with his own team.
Well, you know, I Rafael Stone's got to take his part. He did not, when Fred VanVleet went down, he didn't do anything about it. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. Even more, you know what? Markelle Fultz was available this week. And you know what? Why not throw a flyer? Markelle Fultz has sucked. Who cares? Try something. Nothing. He's done absolutely nothing. Ime keeps blaming the team. Zero. I don't know. Everybody talk adjustments and blah, blah, blah. If they're not ready to play, that's on the coach. They're not ready to play, that's on you, coach. You know what? You just said they didn't come in here ready to play. And you know, that's on you. The players, I mean, their defense, it's just atrocious at times. Atrocious. You've got injuries, obviously, with Steven Adams and Fred VanVleet. But you know what? Enough with the excuses. This team's good enough to beat the Bulls. Good enough to beat the Bulls.
Yeah.
And you look like you were tanking. That team looked like it was tanking with how it played defensively last night. 132 points to a bunch of G leaguers.
Yeah. The intensity level is not there. You don't have the same dog level in that team.
Nothing.
I'm not even going to diagnose why that's the case. Y'all can figure it out yourself. Y'all can look into it yourself. I've got my opinions, and I think it's multifaceted. I don't think there's one person or one reason. But this team is not the same team as it was last year. That team last year was hungry. They played together as a unit. There was a sameness. There was a common goal and a brotherhood. And it's just like I don't know if it's cultural. I don't know if it's locker room toxicity. I'm not sure I'm saying that. I just know that what made them fun to watch last year, which is knowing that they were going to outwork their opponents pretty much 9 out of 10 games. They were going to outwork their opponents in the half court, on the boards, to loose balls, all that stuff. That's just gone. You still see it. But in terms of their default mentality, that's just not the default mentality anymore. Not frequently enough. And, you know, it could be that Reed Shepherd plays a little more. Could be Kevin Durant's on the team. And I think Kevin Durant's a bad defender. But what you subtracted had a lot more dog tendencies on that side of the court. I mean, obviously, Dylan Brooks is going to, and Jalen Green for that matter. Those two guys played a lot more, and they were on-ball defenders. Kevin Durant is not a bad defender. He's not Dylan Brooks, though. And Reed Shepherd is a far cry from Jalen Green. So you have your lineup, and Fred VanVleet, you know, was tough on ball handlers. Steven Adams was a banger. There's a lot of things there, and you know, Clint Capella does not give you the same things Steven Adams did. There's a lot of things, but it's not just injury. It's not, because what happens is when there's injuries, that next man up mentality kicks in, and you're like, we ain't gonna let this sidetrack us. And so that's what I'm saying. If people just keep making the same excuse about, what about Fred VanVleet? What about Steven Adams? I don't want to keep offering that up, because tough teams say, we don't give. I mean, we've seen this for years and years in different teams and different sports. And when you're mentally tough, it doesn't matter if one guy or two guys go down. You raise your level of intensity, and that's just not happening. And that is, I mean, yes, it's on the players. As with everything in every sport, players have to execute. But as with everything in every sport, the buck stops here, meaning the coach is going to be the first one to catch it because he's ultimately responsible. That's his job, is to have them ready and have them playing that level of basketball. And it is a little concerning that Ime's not getting that from his team on a regular basis now.
Yeah.
Not regular enough.
No, they don't have any dog. This team doesn't have that dog in them. They just don't. It doesn't have a dog in it. And, you know, maybe Rafael was right. They're just not good enough. We got ripped talking about, you know, the trade yesterday, Dylan Brooks. ESPN put out there one of the best moves.
Okay,
listen.
Okay.
ESPN put out there yesterday one of the best moves of the season,
right,
was Dylan Brooks getting picked up by the Suns. We commented on it. Oh, you guys didn't mention
the injury.
We got ripped.
Now go look at the names. Go look at the names.
Fred VanVleet, go look at the manager.
Names. Go look at the names of everyone who commented. KD fan, KD Slayer. It's all KD stuff. That's why you shouldn't even talk about it. It's just KD stands.
Yeah.
No one cares. They travel in hives and packs. I don't care about those freaking losers.
Right.
They can suck the hole too. I don't care about I don't care about Katie stands. I don't care about Alpi stands. I don't care about any kind of, if your only goal is to talk about your personal favorite best friend, pom-pom boy that you just want to hold his pocket, I don't care. I don't care. We're talking about the Rockets. I don't care if this guy's your favorite player, because guess what? You're just going to go from team to team with Kevin Durant. I don't care. We don't care about you. You're not Rocket fans. You're only KD fans. So the only reason they can't – go look at it, John. I noticed. I'm like, wait a minute. These guys all literally have KD in their name, or yeah. Could be bots, either in their name or they have it in their bios. So who cares what they say?
Right.
We're getting ripped by KD people. Don't care.
Well, I was trying to say.
1 year, KD. What have you been here for a year?
I was trying to say that who
losers.
Cares? That every time we talk about this team, we have to mention that Steven Adams and Fred VanVleet are hurt. And you know what? That's a bunch of losers.
Yeah, I'm going to stop, doing it. I'm going to stop doing it.
Yeah, bunch of losers because they're hurt. The general manager didn't do anything. So you guys got to say it. KD's great. He's great. Yeah, KD's great. KD is great. He's the fifth leading scorer of all time. Congratulations. And the team sucks.
He's just
this
not,
team yeah. is worse than last year's team. And that's a fact, Jack. That is just a fact. They don't have any heart at all.
No way, Jose.
This team does not have heart. Better pick it up, boys. Better pick it up. 7-16.
You think ESPN. They're picking it up in this team right now?
I don't know.
I don't have a lot of confidence in pick it up because I haven't seen it sustained. I haven't seen them sustain something for five games, and I don't know how long.
You know, we were talking about it looks like they're going to cruise and not have to worry about the play-in. Not so sure anymore.
I mean, Suns have to keep winning.
I mean, if the Suns keep on winning, if the Suns keep on winning, which they're 5-5, you're 5-5.
I mean, you do have a soft schedule, but you just lost one of your soft schedule games.
Yeah, you got a 3.5 game lead. The way you're playing, you got to play the Suns too. You better show up for it. Better show up for it, guys. Time to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. John Clay Wolf, he shows up every day. John Clay Wolf brings it. He brings a dog mentality to the car business. He brings a mentality that says, I'm going to beat the next guy. I'm going to pay more for that car. I'm going to give the people more for their vehicle than the other guys do. And then I'm going to sell it at auction for less. I'm going to make less money than the other guys do. The philosophy in the car business, and in any business, let me buy low and sell high, right? That's not John Clay Wolf's. Let me buy high, and I'll sell for whatever I get for it. He takes some losses on some of them. He, just to get that vehicle, he will take the losses on it. So he's going to give you more for your car if you go to GiveMeTheVin.com. Can't help you if you don't. But if you're going to sell your car, one of the places I think the place that you have to go is GiveMeTheVin.com. See what it is. Go to other places. Shop the price. Bring it back to John Clay Wolf. And either he beats it or he doesn't. But he is going to set the tone at GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. I just got a text. I want to know what their record is since the KD burner stuff. What do you think their record is since the All-Star break? Do you have any idea?
How many games have been played? Let's see. I just went through 13, so I would say probably in the neighborhood of 22.
They played 18 games.
Played 18? Oh, I would say 9-9.
10-8.
Okay.
10-8 since the All-Star break, which is not playoff. That's not championship. It's not even
close. They're 6-7 in the last 13.
Yeah. And against some not great.
There've been
teams.
Some pretty good teams in there. There's some good teams, some not good and some not and some. What are the Heat this year? Heat are like middling. They've played them
like playing
38-34.
Yeah, yeah. They're in the middle of a five-game losing streak.
They played they played them a couple times. They played San Antonio. They played the Lakers a couple times. I mean, there's five teams with winning records. Just off the top of my head, I'm trying to remember.
New York.
The other ones were. Yeah, it's a winning team. But they've also played some. I mean, they've beaten the not good teams, really. I mean, they played Denver also.
Yeah.
During that stretch.
But here's the deal.
They beat Washington. Why haven't you mentioned that?
By five. Oh, no. By 5 points. By 5 points.
Yeah.
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 Really, they haven't. I mean, it's just been every time they play a good team, they lose. Lately. Anyway. In Golden State, it wasn't a good team.
Well, they beat Miami with a tip-in at home. They lost to Miami by 10 in Miami. I mean, it is true.
Yeah.
It is true. When you're playing good teams, you are losing. And you're actually getting your asses kicked in a lot of these. I mean, San Antonio 25, Denver 20. Denver is, oh my gosh, 36. The Lakers were 8, and then 8 again. Of course,
you were home in both of those.
Yeah,
you weren't competitive against San Antonio. You weren't competitive against Denver.
Nope. Lakers, you lost by 8. Two of them. One of them was worse than the other one. The other game. Yeah,
2 8-point losses to the Lakers.
At home.
At home. And then last night, an 8-point loss to a bad Bulls team. 10-point loss to Miami. You had a 19-point lead, or a 16-point lead with 5, 6 minutes
left. Hang on against New Orleans.
Against New York and lost that.
Oh, against New Orleans you had a lead too.
Yep. New Orleans. Well, you beat New Orleans 107-105.
Yeah, that's another one at home where I thought it was going to be a blowout. Actually, they actually stayed about 6 to 8 the whole game. That was actually the one. You're right. That was New York I'm thinking of. New Orleans actually stayed within shouting distance of you at least.
Yeah. And you were able to pull it off at the end.
New York was, that was before I was even Japanese, so I don't even count that.
Speaking of Japanese, the Astros starting rotation is out. Hunter Brown will get to start Thursday. Mike Burrows in game 2.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Javier in game 3. Tatsuya Imai in the Sunday game. Lance McCullers on Monday.
Yep.
That's your rotation.
They weren't going to play Imai, who's never pitched a game for them, ahead of Christian Javier. There's a respect factor that goes into it. That's
even
fine.
Though Imai is a better option right now.
Well, we'll see. I mean, he's still got to pitch in the major league. He still has to prove that. The Astros make you prove it. Even if you think it, Joe Espada is going to make you prove it. The Astros have been a stick-with-veteran players organization from the top down. It starts with Jim Crane. Like, they stick with older players. They stick with veteran players. Why do you think Lance McCullers is getting a shot again? Maybe he deserves a shot, but, I mean, we kind of know how that story plays out.
They always stick with their veteran players.
They always do.
Carlos.
No, that's not.
George Springer.
Stick with them. John, there's a big difference between sticking with them. No, you just say they don't pay their best players. Just say that out loud with your mouth.
Wow.
Veteran players like Abreu, they stuck with him for a while. They stuck with Machete. They stick with it. They're gonna roll with guys who are on their roster who have helped them in the past.
Yeah, but
it's just what they do.
Stuck with Machete, which was good for Yiner.
Well, they went back and I know, but they went back to him. They went back to him. They had him, then went back to him, and then kept him around when he couldn't hit a lick. They do stick with veterans. I mean, look at the way they've handled their pitching staffs in the past. Of course, they've had good pitchers. The bats this spring. I went and looked at the collective numbers for the entire. You know, I went all through everyone's numbers. Holy cats, were the bats bad this spring? Wow. Just some of your best players, like Christian Walker, off to a lousy start. You know, if you said, would you rather have them hit or not hit in spring? It doesn't really matter at spring. No, I'd say hit. Yeah. I'd rather they be seeing the ball and hitting the ball. I would much rather they actually hit anytime they're in any kind of competitive situation.
Yeah, no. I know that guys are just working on stuff and whatnot. Well, Christian Walker did homer the other day, so that was
one of the things they work on is getting hits.
What they work on getting the hits.
Yeah.
They like to hit the ball. And if you're facing pitchers who are not good, and in a lot of instances in spring training, you're facing non-major league pitchers, which is might be a problem because the guys are all over the place. You know, it's if you're facing non-major league pitchers, it's really hard to hit because you just don't have any idea where the ball's going. There's a reason they're not in the majors. Thank God we're going to face major league pitchers now. Thank God. Come Thursday. Going to face major league pitching because it's too hard to hit non-major leaguers. Too hard. Can't do it. The bats are worrisome if you want to know the truth. I've got a lot more faith in the pitching than I do in the bats, that's for sure. Right now, anyway. We'll see. Especially if this looks like the bottom of the order. When was it? Was just during this run, they had a bottom of the order that was just atrocious. Maybe it was 20. Might have been 2020, COVID. They had just an awful, awful last three hitters and just couldn't get anything. And they still ended up winning the division. But, you know, I'm not sure. A lot of people are thinking that run is over. The Astros right now have a 55% chance to make the playoffs. 55% chance to make the postseason, according to MLB postseason odds. They have a 55%. They're not a big favorite. Seattle is the favorite in the American League West. They're minus 290. The Astros are minus 120.
Huh.
Minus 290 to win the division, to make the playoffs anyway, make the postseason. to win the division, I think it's tighter than that. But neither here nor there, who cares what the odds are? Is this team good enough? And offensively, that's going to be the challenge.
I legitimately feel like when you look at everything that Seattle has and what they've added, I don't know that anyone's going to challenge him in this division. I think the Astros are going to – you need to kind of keep pace with them as much as you can. And just, you know, we're used to talking about wild card we're used to talking about division wins and what we're going to do in the – you know, what team's going to do in the second round. Can you win a World Series? I think this year you really just focus on process of just trying to just get away from all that talk and just focus on – we may not. We'll probably look at everything the same way. But as a team, they've just got to really focus on process. It's going to sound cliched, but, you know, stacking wins together, stacking series wins together, getting your pitching staff to look good over the course of a month. It needs to be small little wins this year. This is not the same unit that you say, well, this is a World Series team or this team, it's going to be hard to win a division. So I think you just focus on, you know, how you're playing your best baseball. How is Joe Espada managing the bullpen? Can you keep your starters healthy? Can your starters get better during the season? Can Christian Javier's fastball pick up a little steam as the season moves on? How do you manage Lance McCullers? Like, I feel like the questions are different. I feel like the concerns are different, and I feel like the way you approach it has to be a little bit different. But it's okay because if everything works out, the end point can still be the same. It doesn't mean you're giving up, you know, your goal of trying to advance to a World Series at some point. I think what you focus on is the little things. You have to really focus on the little things. They're not even little, but you have to focus on little victories here and there instead of just worrying about the macro view. You really have to bear down and worry about the micro view this year. You've got to get Christian Walker right. There's really not there's no options other than Christian Walker has to play well. I mean, unless you're going to pull him completely out of the lineup.
You're dependent on a lot of guys who have underperformed.
Yeah.
Or they don't have any track record. Like the outfield.
No track record.
Javier, McCullers, a lot of question marks.
Yeah, Walker. Arm question marks. Hey, Walker was bad
Yordan's
last year.
Yordan's a question mark.
Because he can't stay healthy.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but when he does, is he going to be Yordan?
Well, yeah. I mean, last year was a concern.
It was bad.
Yeah, I wish you wouldn't have brought that up. I totally kind of just checked out on Yordan's lack of power last year.
All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. on ESPN 97.5. I want to talk about HRP. If you're looking for the best way to get that payroll to your people, listen, you are the CEO, you're the CFO, the CFF, the CPR, the CPO, whatever you are for your company. If it starts with a C, you're a decision maker, and it's time for you to decide that HRP is better than the way that you're doing it. And it could be you have an admin company. It could be you've been with them a while. Could be that that admin company is growing fat and sassy off of your money. That admin company is putting its name on golf tournaments and whatnot. HRP ain't doing that. HRP is partnering with you to make sure that your business runs as smoothly as it possibly can. Your HR, your payroll, your taxes are done impeccably, perfectly, because they have experts in all of those fields. You don't. You are not an expert. Do not pretend to know what you're doing with payroll or HR. You sell your widgets. You're really good at that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in business. But if you are somebody that is doing it yourself, or you've got an admin company that maybe you're paying a little bit too much to, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 703-780-3776. You want to talk about this? Kevin Sumlin's going to join us in a couple of minutes to tell us about that halftime show that we're going to talk about on Friday. And, you know, the game's coming up. They're going to start their season in Dallas. So the Gamblers, led by their head coach Kevin Sumlin, a short little visit with him. And Kellen Sampson is going to join us at 9:30. 9:30 right here on ESPN 97.5. So you Coug fans, make sure that you are here, even if you're not a Coug fan. Listen in. What's going to happen with this Sweet 16? Chris in the Woodlands is here. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Just had a quick question. And I'll be honest, I was listening to the game. I was traveling yesterday last night, so I didn't get to watch it. But is maybe Alpi a bigger problem defensively than he is asset offensively? And just, I'm going off of what I was hearing last night, maybe what I've seen the prior games. It doesn't seem like, and I know we've lost Steven Adams, and we talk about the point guard being an issue, but I feel like it's more of internal, like, presence in the lane when it comes to stopping defensively. It feels like I heard a lot of the zealous to the goal and so-and-so to the rack. I know they start off hot shooting, but in that fourth quarter, I just felt like I kept hearing where everything's getting to the rim. I know Capella's not that guy. Is there something else that they can be doing defensively to maybe stop some of that? And I'll hang up and listen. I just didn't know if he was more of a liability defensively than he is an asset offensively. Thanks, guys.
The plus minus is
obviously a plus, but that, I don't know that that's at this point. I'd still say, I mean, you got to remember now, not only does he score, he also sets others up to score too.
Yeah.
So,
But he's also, well, he is a liability.
Yeah, there is. There's a sliding scale.
Ine has talked about it when asked about the double team. You know, they're attacking Alperen Şengün. Ine said, yeah, ever since I've been here. Yeah.
Yep.
Ever since I've been here. It's something that you just have to deal with. And Reed Shepard is a minus defensively, too, even though he's got a boatload of steals. That's a guy that there's a reason that they keep attacking him. There's a reason that they get mismatches down low. They set it up where they screen off guys, and Reed ends up guarding some 6'10 guy in the low post. There's a reason that that happens. It's not just by happenstance. Opposing coaches set it up where Alperen and Reed Shepard you attack them. That's just good basketball right there. As opposed to just, you know what? Read the defense. Make good passes. Okay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It just seems like that's all the Rockets do. That's all they do. This is extremely disappointing right now. We'll see. I mean, they're in the sixth seed. They do have a 3.5-game lead over Phoenix. But the way that they're playing against good teams, there is no indication right now that this is a top-of-the-line potential championship team. No indication whatsoever. So
No. And it hasn't been for a while now. And we were promised that. We were promised that when KD came over that this is going to get them closer to a championship. Who were we promised that
well,
by?
Well, I don't know who
KD
promised
Stance.
You.
You promised me.
Oh, I kind of did, yeah. I kind of did. But I don't, I'm not, that's not something I can really promise to people. It's really not. It was a different best. Listen, there is a distinct line of demarcation when Steven Adams was healthy and then when Steven Adams went
well,
down.
Well, even when Steven Adams was healthy, they still had some, like, yes, there is a line of demarcation there. But, like, they were a different team in their first 25 games, too. Like, they had kind of fallen off after that for some reason, but there was a toughness with Steven Adams. Like, there's basic math. He gets you more rebounds. So what does that mean? You get more possessions for you on the offensive end, and you limit possessions on the other side. There's really basic math here. They don't get as many shots at the basket. You get more shots at the basket. The math says you're going to that the difference in scoring is going to be about 3.5 to 4 points difference because of that. You know, potentially, that's a lot. That's a lot of points when you look at the margin of victory in games. Yep. Then you get away from that and there's something else going on here and it's not it's just there's not the same level of when the going gets tough. Now I know we can point to things like, for example, they got down against the Lakers and made a big comeback in the second half. I mean, you know, they look like booty cheeks in the first half, and they came out and had a great third quarter, including Kevin Durant. But then
same thing last night.
I know, but it just couldn't, like, but then you didn't have the intensity to finish in the fourth quarter with defense. Like, this is the problem I have, is that you don't, there's not the same level of fight back. Yeah, it flashes because I think there's players with heart on that team. And I think Kevin Durant's one of those guys. And I think Alperen has heart. I think they all have heart. I just think that it's I don't know. There's something missing. There's a confidence and a swagger, and I don't feel like they are wearing the mask of toughness and where their identity was. We're ass kickers. They developed that identity last year, and they wore it with pride, and they brought it to the table. And when they stepped on the court, they expected to play into that, like the Texans do, right? The Texans have this identity, and everyone on that defense plays to it because it's fun for them, and they like it, and they like being identified as that. Yeah. I felt like the Rockets had that last year where they love being known as dogs, and they love that intensity. But you don't see – they don't swarm. They're not swarming this year on a regular basis.
No swarm.
There's no swarming?
No swarm. None whatsoever.
Don't let Dell infect you.
All right. No swarm whatsoever. Kevin Sumlin's going to be joining us here in a minute on ESPN 97.
Says who?
What?
Says you?
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, whoa. Big deal. Spoiler alert. Clay Walker's playing. Okay.
Clay Walker is not actually not even close to Clay Walker.
Are you ready to roll with gambler time?
Are you?
Oh, no. They're gamblers now, right?
Yeah. Are they going to have a problem because Clay Walker is not their guy? Is this a problem that Clay Walker is not the guy back in their team?
I mean, every
team that Clay Walker backs is a great football team, right?
Ooh, not a great win.
Oh, really?
Not a great win percentage.
Winning divisions, it's all they do.
Clay Walker has been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
And actually, he hasn't. Does he still perform?
Yeah, he does. Do you know? I have a question for you.
Somebody's on right now, by the way.
Oh, he is? Somebody's here?
I think they're answering the phone right
okay.
now.
Okay.
Ask your question real quick. Somebody's on right now.
Somebody's with us here on ESPN 97.5. Kevin Sumlin, head coach of the Gamblers. We call him Summy. He is with us here once again. He's been with us for years and years and years, and he's back as the head coach. What a week we have here, Coach. How is it to be back in Houston? We got the Astros starting on Thursday. We've got golf. We've got Sweet 16, and we got Gamblers this weekend.
Yep. It's great, man. We are kicking off this season up here in Dallas, getting ready to play the Dallas Renegades up here in Dallas, and then we'll be back in Houston the next weekend.
And how good is it to be back in the city? I mean, you traveled around a little bit. You were in College Station. You were in Arizona. You were in Maryland. Now you're back in the city of Houston. Is this still home for you?
This is still home for me. People know I've got two kids. One, my daughter's a lawyer in town and married. They're in Houston, and I got a son playing it over at TSU for Coach Dishman. So, you know, a lot of good friends, a lot of people I know there, and it's just an exciting time for me and the family. And kind of running around there last weekend, and seeing a bunch of people, it's exciting. So even though we're practicing up here in Arlington, we're playing our home games in Shell Energy, which is a great venue. With you can be close there. You got great places right around the stadium and inside that stadium. So should be a great atmosphere for fans.
Yep. And at halftime, it's not going to be Clay Walker. It's not going to be Clay Walker. All right. Who's it going to be at halftime of your first game on Easter Sunday?
Yeah, well, it's going to be Ludacris. The game's been moved to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and after people get through with church or and Sunday brunch, whatever, come on out to the game. You got a little Ludacris at halftime. Did a halftime show there, and it should be a great atmosphere right there at Chill Energy.
What's your favorite Ludacris song, Lance?
Move, Get Out the Way. That's an easy one. Also, Throw Them Bows is a classic, is a banger for years.
Yeah, Throw Them Bows, huh? Throw really, John? Bows.
Throw Them Bows. But also, like I said, Move, Get Out the Way is an easy one because it's something that, that the whole family can enjoy.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
As long as he leaves the B word out of it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm not sure what he's going to do. He's got a few out there.
Let Luda be Luda. That man has been in. How about he's an actor? He is a rapper. Yeah. He's an actor. He's actually a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, he's got, what is it? He's probably made more money on, what is it, on the Fastest and the Furious.
Fast and Furious, and he was also Skinny Black in Hustle and Flow.
Yeah, but I mean, he's probably on the Fast and Furious number 7 right now, I think.
So or I don't 12 know. Or 18, whatever it is.
Yeah, at least.
Whatever it is.
How'd you get him, Coach? Is that you? Or?
I don't know. Well, we took the league. You know,
okay.
He's got relationships with different people. And the league has actually, there are acts scheduled like all over the place for these home openers. And I think DJ Khaled did one. You got Nelly in St. Louis for a halftime show, just to name a couple of them. So, yeah, this is a production, and there's like I said, one of the big reasons I came to this league or came back is it's changed ownership, and with Mike Rapoli really kind of leading the way. And so the emphasis is on professionalism, on entertainment, and I think the product, not I think, I know the product after a week of practice, after 3 weeks of practice, is a better product than it was 3-4 years ago.
Okay. Diddy's not playing anywhere, is he?
Who's that?
Diddy.
Don't even listen to him, Coach.
No, I thought that's what I heard.
You heard it. Of course you heard it.
Yeah, I know. I'm
going to
act like it was a mistake.
Good idea. We do that all the time.
No Diddy.
We do that all the time on the show. We act like we didn't hear him.
Yeah. I'm just saying. No Diddy.
Bad connection.
Well, awesome.
You're going in and out. How's that?
Yeah. I'm going through a tunnel. Then hang up, Coach.
Well, that's going to be fun. All right. Go beat Dallas's ass this weekend. And then come home, Ludacris at halftime. Let's go. Get on out to the – it's Dell? Dell Stadium, and let's go. Five o'clock. Oh, so it was supposed to be earlier. Now it's a 5 o'clock game. So everybody's got time. Go to church. Have a nice day with the fam. Bring the fam out to the stadium. And Ludacris, that's big. That's big stuff. Good stuff, Coach.
That'll be good. That'll be good.
Well, first up, beat Dallas, though, okay? Do that for us.
That's right. We're working on that right now. Getting ready to head out to practice. So, we can't wait for this weekend and certainly can't wait to get to Houston in 2 weeks.
All right. There's Coach Sumlin. There's Coach Sumlin with us right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll be hearing from him all year long. No Diddy. Let's go. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about Houston Powder Coaters. Let's go. Okay. Our city is looking great because of Houston Powder Coaters, in large part, not just because of Houston Powder Coaters. Our city does a great job, period. But World Cup is coming this summer, and they have petitioned, well, they've hired Houston Powder Coaters to go around the city and make it look great. Let's put our best foot forward. This is a great opportunity for tourism in the city of Houston. All kinds of different teams coming here, cities, countries coming here, and they're going to see us with our best foot forward. And who's putting their best foot forward? Houston Powder Coaters. Houston Powder Coaters is going around the city making all of the metal look great. But they could do it for you as well. They still got time for you. And oh, by the way, the summer pools are going to be opening up soon. Have you gotten, all of you pools out there, have you gotten your furniture out there, your pool furniture? Have you gotten it powder coated, making it look good? It's probably getting a little shagat. Not only will they do the metal, but they'll do the slings and the straps and everything, make it look perfect. This is what they do every single day. Houston Powder Coaters is the best. Free pickup and delivery for all you residential people. Whatever metal that you got, send it to Houston Powder Coaters and let Robin and the folks work on it, make it look great. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. You're looking for the best way to make your metal look great. HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.